glad. Thank you, Brother Dale. Open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10, while you turn this portion of the Word. About all I can say is amen to good services, good singing, good preaching, good services yesterday afternoon and last night. I was thinking while Brother Farmer, said Farmer, was preaching. I was thinking while he was preaching, I thought about what a fellow said one time. We were sitting in a meeting together, and this preacher was preaching, and he was preaching good. And this fellow said, when he got through, he said, "That will preach again." And what he was saying was, "I'm going to preach that." So, and really, when you think about it, in a meeting like this, I've been here since Thursday afternoon. And I've gotten, I know, three or four thoughts for sermons. I have. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to preach today, I was sitting in a meeting in Myrtle, Mississippi, Camp Zion, in the late 60s. And this man of God was preaching, and he's already gone to heaven, but he really didn't preach on this subject, but he made the statement, or read it in his message. And it's John 10, verse 41. And he said this concerning John the Baptist. He said, John did no miracles, but all things that Jesus spake of this man were true. You may be seated. And that's what I'm going to preach on this afternoon, and that is John did no miracles. Now, you think about that statement. I was listening to the radio some time back, and I heard this charismatic preacher say on the radio, he was talking about experience he had of casting out devils. Talked about this young lady coming, and she had devils. And he read Mark 5 and prayed with her and cast the devils out of her. But here's what he said. He said, if your pastor doesn't heal the sick and cast out devils and perform miracles, he's not qualified to be your pastor. That disqualified me. I never have cast out any devils. I have prayed for the sick, but I'm not a divine healer. And I thought about it as he made that statement. In other words, if your preacher, your pastor, hasn't done these things, he's not qualified to be your pastor. And I thought, well, I feel like I'm more qualified than you are. I've only been married once and have one living wife. Amen. John did no miracles. The days of John the Baptist were days of spiritual darkness, political darkness. But John the Baptist came on the scene as the prophet of the Lord. And he came as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he came as a messenger from the Lord. John did no miracles, but John was a miracle. How you know that? Well, he was born to parents of old age, past childbearing in the eyes of men. But the Lord God performed a miracle and brought John the Baptist into the world. And even though he did no miracles, there are three things in the scripture that said about John. First of all, John did no miracles, but the Bible tells us that he was appointed by the Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So if John was sent from God, then that's all right, because he had the approval of the Lord, and I'll say that a little later. The Bible said in John 1, verse 6, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. And by the way, God's the one named him John. Zechariah would have named him Zechariah Jr. or named him after his relatives, but God said through the angel to Zechariah, "Thou shalt call his name John." There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and not a woman named Joyce. Amen. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want to say, first of all, he was a fulfillment of Scripture. He was no accident. He just didn't come about, in other words, accidental, but he was the fulfillment of the Scripture. According to Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the Bible said that God would send his messenger. And then also Malachi, inspired of God, talked about John coming as a messenger. Now you think about John did no miracles, but he's a fulfillment of the Scripture. He was the fulfillment that God promised, and he came. Well, not only do we see John did no miracles, he was appointed of the sovereign God. He was sent from God. He is a fulfillment of the Scripture, but also he's a forerunner of Christ. Remember that? They kindly thought about John the Baptist and Jesus. They're so much alike, and they were alike. They were alike in their preaching. And when Herod heard about Jesus, he said, "That's John the Baptist risen from the dead." The forerunner wasn't Christ, but he was the forerunner that pointed men to Christ. He said, "For I'm not the Christ, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I must decrease, he must increase." And he pointed men to the Savior. John did no miracles, but he was the fulfillment of the Scripture. So that's very important. He did no miracles, but also he was the forerunner of the Christ to make a people ready for the Lord, to prepare the way for the Lord. Oh yes, John did no miracles, but he sent from God, the fulfillment of Scripture, the forerunner of Christ, and he was the first Baptist. That's right. He wasn't a Methodist, he wasn't a Presbyterian, he wasn't Episcopal, he was the first Baptist. It would do good in this generation for this young generation to hear old-time Baptist preaching from Baptist preachers and let their congregation know we're not Protestants, we are Baptist people. We're not Protestants. Hey, our beginning didn't begin, my friend, with Martin Luther. Thank God it began, my friend, the days of Jesus. Now, if that offends some of you, just take your medicine. It may be a little bitter, but it'll be sweeter after a while. I say to you that we're not Protestants. We are Baptist people. And we didn't come from Rome. We're not going back to Rome. Martin Luther didn't get further enough away from Rome as far as I'm concerned. He still believed in spanking babies and other things. And I'll tell you something else. He did not join up with the Anabaptists. He went against them and also did not really appreciate the Jew. Now you can say amen. Oh, I've heard Baptist preachers brag on Martin Luther and John Calvin. I'll tell you what we ought to brag on. We ought to brag on to John the Baptist and my friend the Lord Jesus and let people know we are Baptist people. Have you ever noticed when Luther said he got saved, that he didn't join God's people, he started a reformation? When Saul got saved on the road to Damascus, he didn't start a reformation. He joined the redeemed and, my friend, the church of God, and therefore went straightway preaching Jesus and him crucified. You can say amen. If Martin Luther had got what Saul got, he would have went to the Anabaptists and, my friend, not started a reformation. And by the way, I observe this preacher, and I watch it, especially this time of the year. I see all the daughters acting just like their mama. Amen. You didn't say amen. All the Protestants are, my friend, in other words, still acting like their mama, and they're headed back to their mama, the mother of harlots. I'm glad today. I'm not ashamed. I ain't got a bunny on my tongue. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm glad of my heritage, and I'm not bowing to this modern day generation and say I got to be ecumenical and I got to get along with the crowd. Now, John did no miracles, but he was a man sent from God. He fulfilled the scripture, the forerunner of Christ, the first Baptist, but I'm so glad, thank God, he's not the last one. You're looking at a Baptist. Amen. Amen. You didn't say amen. Now, I know a lot of folks talk about being Baptist, not Baptist. I understand that. When Baptists ordain women to be preachers, they're not Baptists. Say amen. Amen. When they really come ecumenical and yoke up with everything comes along, they're really not fundamental independent Baptists. Well, John did no miracles, but another thing about John, and all this in the Bible now, it's in the Word of God. You know what he was? He is appointed by the Lord, but he is also anointed by the Spirit of God. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. The Bible said he was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Ghost, never had a dream, never had a vision, never spoke in tongues, and never performed one miracle. Boy, that's amazing. See, a lot of folks feel like if you feel the Spirit of God, you got to have some kind of dream, some kind of vision. Got to walk around like that mirror in your eyes for about 6 months, and you don't know where you are. I got news for you. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and why you did it. I get amazed at Baptist people. I don't know why I did it. I don't know when I did it. I don't know where I was at when I did it. I was just drunk on the Holy Ghost. You better take that somewhere and junk it. Amen. Somebody said, well, being filled with the Spirit of God is like being drunk on wine. Well, let's see if that's right. Now, it does. Being drunk on wine will affect you. And being filled with the Spirit of God will affect you. But you can be drunk on wine, not know where you are. But you can't get drunk on the Holy Ghost, pardon that expression, filled with the Holy Ghost, and not know where you are. You might well say amen. You can get drunk on wine and not know what you're saying. But if you can feel the Spirit of God, you know what you're saying. And you'll know why you said it. You might well say amen. I'm hearing a lot nowadays among Baptist people that's not in the Word of God, not according to the Word of God. And my friend, it concerns the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, my friend, is in us. He's our comforter. He's our guide. Leads us and guides us in all truth. And he always does things in order. And he's not the author of confusion. I like what you said last night, preacher. A lot of preachers feel like if they can confuse people, they've done a good job. And their goal is, your preacher can't get it done, your pastor can't get it done. I'm going to come and I'm going to get half of your church saved. And therefore, I'll leave town and they'll say, what a preacher. I've always felt like this. If a man can stay in a church 10 years and preach, and my friend, the gospel and the Word of God, I believe the Spirit of God will honor him and my friend on the Word and get people saved and not wait on some highfalutin evangelist come by. And my friend wanting to count noses, say amen. I got to move on. Is that all right? Is it okay? Everything's okay. All right. John did no miracles, but he was sent from God. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. By the way, when you think about John being filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Now, by the way, John was filled with the Spirit. Our Lord Jesus filled with the Spirit. The disciples filled with the Spirit. Peter filled with the Spirit. Paul filled with the Spirit. And every last one of them preached repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? See, I've been hearing for the last 30 years or more, other words, repentance is not necessary to get saved. But I done read the Bible a few times, and I know what the Word says, and I'm not about to back off. I done gone down the road too far to turn back now. Could I make a statement? Could I make a statement? I may not go over too well, but you listen real good. The reason some folks don't believe in repentance, they can't find their converts. Or you say, well, a lot of folks get saved, you don't know about it. I haven't read that in the Bible either. Well, a lot of folks get saved, you can't find them. I haven't read that in the Word. When I got saved, they didn't hunt me, I hunted them. When I got saved, they didn't bribe me, beg me. I went down to the house of God because I wanted to. And I still believe the old time way. I'm of the old school. And I believe when a sinner gets saved, he'll be like the New Testament saints. He'll want to serve God. Amen. 3,000 got saved the day of Pentecost. 3,000 got baptized. 3,000 continued the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread. Amen. Now that's in the Bible. Oh, I know it's in the Bible. I read it the other day. Now, some of you want to jump out of the boat on me? Just stay in the boat. Don't jump out of the boat. I got two oars. I'm paddling this boat with love and truth, and I'm not going around circles. And if you don't listen to me, I'll get you to the shore. Amen. I know. A lot of folks say, well, now a lot of folks are saved, but you can't find them. I read the other day, now don't jump out of the boat on me, where thousands got saved and they baptized just a few. What am I trying to say? Spirit-filled preachers preach repentance. And if they don't preach repentance, they may be saved, maybe God called, maybe a preacher, but if they don't preach repentance, they're not filled with the Spirit of God. John was filled with the Spirit of God and said, repent ye. Jesus filled the Spirit of God. He said, repent ye. I'm telling you, Peter was filled with the Spirit of God. Men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent. Can I just say a little bit about repentance? Repentance is not work salvation. Repentance is not what man does altogether. It's what God does. And God grant the Gentiles repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance is a change of mind. Somebody says, well, I didn't know what I did and why I did it. No, you didn't know. You was rational when you heard the gospel. You was rational when you heard the truth. You was rational when you changed your mind about sin and about self and signed up with Jesus. Somebody said, really, the bottom line of repentance is taking sides with God against yourself. Well, I could give you several scripture, but our Lord's commission was go and therefore preach repentance and remission of sin in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that commission hadn't changed. Paul's at Athens, and the Bible said they were given to all kind of religion, and therefore they were great learned men, ecumenicals all get out, and Paul went down there preaching the resurrection, and they couldn't understand what was going on, but Paul didn't compromise, and Paul didn't join the bandwagon, and Paul didn't say, I'm glad to be one of you. He went down at Town Square, right down Mars Hill. He didn't do it in the secret. He didn't do it, my friend, behind closed doors. He did it wide open down there and said, this sinner's God has winked at and commands who? All men to repent. Not some men, all men. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, preaching to that Jewish crowd, preaching to the Jews. And he's preaching the resurrection, preaching the gospel. Remember that? And while he's preaching, they were preaching their hearts. Got convicted. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, well, I tell you what you got to do. You got to repent. You got to change your mind about this Jesus. Now, you said he's an imposter. You said he had devils. You said he's a Samaritan. You said he wasn't the Son of God. You said he wasn't the Christ. You got to change your mind. For God said he was the Christ, and God said he was the Savior, and God did raise him up from the dead, and God made him both Lord and Christ. You got to take sides with God against yourself. Now that's repentance. Amen. Now what do I say? John did no miracles. No, he didn't do a miracle. But he was sent from God. John did no miracles, but he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. And he preached repentance. Tell you something else he preached. He preached against sin. Amen. I've been around some years. One fellow told me years ago, he said, I'm not hooked up like that. In other words, I don't preach on sin. I'm just got serious I preach, you know, and I don't preach on sin. How in the world can a spirit-filled preacher in this 21st century not preach against sin. I heard a man interview Billy Graham several years ago. He asked the question, what do you think about this, other words, same-sex marriage? You know what he said? I don't deal with issues. I just preach the gospel. I know some of you may not appreciate that. But the Apostle Paul wouldn't have said that. He wouldn't have had a bunion on his tongue. I'm going to tell you, in these days that we're living in, we ought to rear back and, my friend, tell the truth and preach against sin. Old John the Baptist, remember, Herod sold his brother's wife. Herod stole his brother's wife. You know what happened, don't you? Old John the Baptist went down there and knocked on his door. And John the Baptist said to Herod, it's not right if you have your brother's wife. It wasn't right then, and it's not right now. And never will be right. Well, I just imagine Herod gave John the keys of the city. I just imagine he became the famed evangelist of that day. I'm sure everybody in the town bragged on John. Oh, no, they didn't brag on John. Herodias was upset. Herodias didn't like what he said. And you know, Herod said to her while she was dancing and had them all stirred up, he said, ask what you will to the half the kingdom, I'll give it to you. But she had to go ask Mama. Have you ever noticed a lot of folks kind of find out what Mama thinks? Or what Daddy thinks? Or what some preacher thinks? Or what some denomination thinks? It's not what we think, it's what God's word says. Now John got his head cut off, but he was sent from God. He is filled with the Holy Ghost. He lost his head for preaching against sin. I got one other little point I'm through. John did no miracles, but he was appointed by the Lord. John did no miracles, but he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And John did no miracles. I could go on a lot on that, but he was approved by the Savior. Yes, he was. Now, Herod didn't like him. Herodias didn't like him. The Pharisees didn't like him because he called them a generation of vipers. No, they didn't appreciate John. They came down to John's baptism, and he wasn't trying to count numbers. He was trying to get people ready to prepare for the Lord. And they came down, was going to join up, and he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You generation of vipers? You say, I don't believe a spirit man preached like that. Well, John was spirit-filled, and he preached like that. Amen. John was spirit-filled, and he called him a generation of vipers. Our Lord was spirit-filled. He said, I know you. You have not the love of God in you. Yes. Simon Peter's filled with the Spirit of God. He said, you have crucified the Lord of glory. Yes. No, spirit-filled men don't preach like that. Yes, they do. Yes. When, my friend, the occasion arises, they preach it. Yes. But he had the approval of Jesus. No, the crowds didn't like him, but Jesus said, I want to say something to you. You know what he said? Now, John did no miracles. But here's what Jesus said about him. What will ye out in the wilderness see? A reed shaken with the wind? Oh, he said, oh no, a prophet, much more than a prophet. For there's not been one born a woman that's greater than John the Baptist. Now, Jesus said that, and Jesus meant that, and the crowd didn't like it, but Jesus loved him, and Jesus said, I put my approval on John. You know what it's like, a reed shaking the wind? In other words, the wind blows, the reed moves the way the wind's blowing. It'll bend. I know preachers like that. Let me check the wind. Let me see which way the winds are blowing. Now, if this is a Calvinistic meeting, I'm going to be a Calvinist. If this is an Armenian meeting, I'm going to be an Armenian. And if it's an ecumenical meeting, I'm not going to say anything about our heritage. I want to find out which way the wind is blowing. And you looking at me, I'm not a Calvinist. And you can't be a Bible believer and a Bible preacher and be a Calvinist. You say you're ignorant. I'm saved. And I believe in whosoever will. I like that text, Brother Biddle, Romans 1:16. I like that. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God unto salvation, everyone believer, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel concerns a wonderful person, Jesus. It concerns a mighty work of God, the power of God. And it also concerns a whosoever will may come. If you get away from that, you've gone too far. Amen. Well, John did no miracles. No. Have you done any miracles? I haven't done any miracles. But the Bible said, though John did no miracles, everything he said about Jesus was true. Now, he wouldn't fit in our day because he did no miracles. But you know something? I've never performed any miracles. No, I never have. Never spoken tongues or anything like that. But you know something? If I and you can hear the Lord say in that judgment seat of Christ, well done. And if we can have the approval of the Lord on us during these days while we are pilgrims on this earth, it doesn't matter what some people think. I remember years ago, the old professor said in a class, he said, you young preacher need to get this to your mind. Throw your prestige out the window. Amen. You can't run on what people think and what people say. John the Baptist did no miracles, but he was sent from God. Amen. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, I think he's all right.